And I'll turn it over to you at this time. Thank you, Art.
Glad to be able to share with you some today, especially in a, I like Christmas time, and I have a favorite verse for Christmas. And it's not from Matthew, it's not from Luke, it's not from the prophets. My favorite Christmas verse is from one of the smaller epistles. It's from 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, it tells us the purpose of Christmas. And the central phrase of that verse, I'll read the whole verse, and then I want us to learn one little section together that you'll have down really good. And that is, in 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The phrase I want you to remember there is, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Right? See, that, of course, tells us the purpose of Christmas, right? It says, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let's see if you can all say it with me this time, right? Jesus came into the world to save sinners. One more time. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You already have that memorized. Now, a great thing to do when you're around and with people is ask a question that is, people will like to answer you. You just ask them this simple question. Ask them, why do we have Christmas? Why do we have Christmas? If you've never asked somebody that, ask them. It doesn't matter if they're, actually it's good to ask a lost person that, because all of a sudden it gives you an opportunity to explain. And you don't know what they might say. I've had people tell me different things, like sometimes it's about, you know, presents and so the stores can make money, and, you know, they have different ideas or whatever they come up. And some don't know or where it came from. It's kind of been lost in our society by a lot of people. They've lost the fact that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. They've forgotten that. They don't know that. Some of them never learned it. But as we look at that, it's got a few really good things that I want us to look at with that simple phrase. And it starts, that says, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The first question of that and about Christmas would be the who, right? And who Jesus is. Of course, Jesus, he's God the Son. He's the one that came into this world. He was perfect and sinless. And you notice it didn't say here that he started to exist then. It says he came into the world. Where did he come from? Of course, it says Jesus, God the Son, the Creator, the one who created things and made. It says he came into the world. They don't talk, none of us can talk about, well, when I decided to come into the world, we can't do that. We're not, you know, we did not exist before God made us in our mother's womb and let us grow up and be born. And but with Jesus, he came. He left heaven. He left the perfect place of splendor where he was king. He was in charge. He was the great one there. The angels worshipped him and honored him. He was God the Son. And he left that. And he came into this world. He left it all behind. He left heaven behind and came into this world. Sometimes in our day, people want to diminish who Jesus was, right? And lots of cults do, and lots of groups want to diminish who Jesus was. But he was God the Son. He left heaven. He was the Creator. One time when he was here on earth and he was talking with some Jews who were also being very critical of him, what did he say? One time he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He was saying, "I'm God." Of course, how long before Jesus was Abraham here? Well, around 2,000 years or something before, quite that, but it was a long ways back there. But Jesus was saying, "I was God." When he, of course, used the word "I am," that was the name that God shared with Moses. And he was identifying himself clearly as God, and so he was. And when he left heaven, he came into this world. As our verse says, Jesus came into the world. He came into this world for us. He came from a perfect place to a hard place. He came from where everybody honored and adored him to where he was an outcast. He was poor. He was, of course, born in a stable and a barn. That is not considered the nice place, even though I like being in the barn and doing work there, right? It's not a pretty place. It's not where I sit down to go to sleep. No, but that's what he did. He left it all behind so that he could come into this world and the purpose to save sinners. Now, when he came into this world to save sinners, it wasn't just the being born as a baby. That was part of it. But he left it all behind. But when he came into this world to save sinners, in order to do that, first off, he had to live a perfectly sinless life where he never sinned once, which he did. He did not do one thing wrong. He never did anything wrong. He never told a lie. He never did anything that was not perfectly right. He never thought a wrong thought. He always did exactly what he was supposed to do. There's nobody like that ever. The best person you can find in the world has sinned heaps of times. In fact, more times than they even know. The best person you can know. Here in the one great hymn we have that was written by, it's called Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness, right? It's one that was written by a guy named Count Zinzendorf, who was had a very godly group, ended up being a leader in a group that helped spread the gospel around the world, the Moravian things. He wrote that hymn, and in one of the verses it says, Lord, I believe we're sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore. Oh, a lot of times we sin and don't even know it, but Jesus never sinned, never once did he do anything wrong. That was part of how he could save us. He had to come into this world and live a perfect, sinless life, as he did. And you know, even when he was going to the cross, right, and they were all kinds of accusations, right, there was many people testify of him. This man has done nothing wrong. He's done nothing. They couldn't find one thing. All of his enemies, in trying to find something that he had done wrong, what did they find? When they finally came down to an accusation that they could get some charge on him against, it wasn't anything lying, it wasn't anything, except they thought it was, but they said, he said he was the Son of God. Well, he was telling the truth, right? But that was the only charge that they could get, because everybody else's lies about him, they knew they didn't hold any weight, and they knew they couldn't charge somebody with the obviously wrong thing. And so he lived that perfect sinless life. And then he was willing to come. And of course, he knew when he came what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to allow himself to be whipped to shreds, to be the blood sacrifice for our sin, to suffer and bleed and die. He knew people were going to lie about him and spit on him and shame him. He knew it was going to happen. And he could have stopped it. But he came into this world for a purpose. And it was to save sinners. And our sin was bad. It was so bad that it deserved eternal punishment. And of course, Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. We deserved death and hell and separation from God. Sins. We deserved that. We were guilty. We were sinners. And yet he came to take that price. Jesus came into the world to save us. He came so that we could be forgiven. And in accomplishing that, he suffered and bled. He let our sin be put on him. And so he was bearing our sin when he took that on the cross, when he suffered and bled and died. It was paying our penalty. Now, the word save there, right? It naturally asks another question. When you see Jesus came into the world to save sinners, save from what? Save from the penalty of our sin. A lot of people also kind of like to deny the existence of hell and a punishment, an eternal punishment. But you know, if somebody, if like some people like to think today, if people ceased to exist when they died, right? If there was a ceasing of existence and they didn't know that they were not existing, what would they be saved from? Would they know anything? They would not. There would be nothing to be saved from. If you just cease to exist as an animal or something, as they would like to class us as, there would be nothing to be saved from. Why would Jesus let us himself take all that, take our hell for us, so we didn't have to if it didn't exist? You know, Jesus actually warned a lot more about hell than he talked about heaven. He warned it was a place of punishment. He warned people that they were going to end up there if they died in their sins. He warned people about it, and it was something to be feared and something to be avoided at all costs. Even he asked the question, what shall it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If a person's soul ends up in hell, they've lost it. They've lost it and bad. But Jesus loved us enough, he wanted to save us from that. He wanted to save us from the penalty of our sin, which is bad, and it's an eternal thing, and it goes on. It doesn't end. It's not like people cease to exist. It says Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He cared enough about us to take the punishment for our sin so we wouldn't have to be punished for it. If we end up getting punished for our sins in eternity, there's no end. It's eternal. That's what Jesus always warned about, and that's why he came and was willing to do it. He loved us enough so that we could be forgiven. Jesus came into the world to save sinners so we could be forgiven, so we would not end up dying in our sins, so we could be right with him. Why do we have Christmas? Remember to ask that question. Ask somebody, why do we have Christmas? Why do you think we have Christmas? We have Christmas because Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's all of us. We are all guilty people. When the Apostle Paul was talking about this, right, what did he say? He said, of whom I am chief. Now let's think about the Apostle Paul just a little bit, right? And his testimony at other times. One time he said, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Oh, he said, I was a Pharisee. I was to the law blameless, right? And telling, he says, I was a Jew. I was circumcised the eighth day. I had everything going for me. He had all the religious things. He had a good testimony as far as being trying to follow the law. He said he thought he was really good quite a bit, right? When he gave testimony elsewhere and other times, he was saying how good he was at times. And yet, when he talks about it here, he says, I'm chief of sinners. That means I'm a big one. I was the biggest sinner. I was bad. He came to realize that. And as a person gets closer to the Lord, we realize more of how bad we really are. Even somebody like that who had all the Bible religious things that could happen were done to him, where he was part of, he participated. He was like one of the lead Pharisees. That was the good living ones of the day. He was that. And yet, when he's talking here, he says, about of whom I am chief. Everybody should actually see themselves as a large sinner. You know, we don't know for sure about everybody else's sins, right? In 2 Corinthians, it talks about people comparing themselves by themselves and measuring themselves by themselves. It says they're not wise when they're comparing themselves with others. Because how much do we know about what our neighbor thinks? Can we see between his ears what's going on? Only if it comes out of his mouth, right? Once in a while, we maybe see it in his actions. But how much do we know about what the people are thinking? We don't know very much. They might, maybe we think we do, but we don't. You know, we can't really know anybody else's thoughts. But we know our own. And we know that we haven't always thought everything right. And we've thought some things wrong. And we've, how many times have we sinned and thought, ooh, you know what? We don't know about everybody else, but we know about ourselves. And the Apostle Paul here was probably thinking about all those things, and he said, of whom I am chief. He knew he was a sinner and needed forgiveness. And of course, when a person gets that forgiveness, then they have something to share. Christmas is all about Jesus coming into this world. Why do we have it? Because Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save each one. He came to save you. He came to save me. And for any who receive it, they get forgiveness if they'll receive his gift. The other verse we talked about with the wages of sin says that it's death, of course, and that includes hell and eternal punishment with that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what do you do with a gift? If you want it to do you any good, you receive it. You take it for yourself. You say thank you, and you take it for yourself. Do you know what? Christmas is a very natural time to share the gospel. If you're saved and know the Lord is your Savior, ask somebody, why do we have Christmas? Let them answer, and then you know what to share. It's very simple. We have a very simple message and clear to share, but people don't know it. And you know what? If a person doesn't know, how can they get saved? How can they get forgiveness? They need to see the basic points of this verse, that Jesus, God the Son, came into this world. He suffered and bled and died to save sinners. And if a person doesn't know that, they can't be saved. They need to know who Jesus is and why he came. And they need to know that they're sinners. Now, once in a while, you may run into somebody that thinks, and many people do think this, that they're basically a good person, right? What do you do if you run into somebody and they think they're a good person? They won't think they're a sinner. They think, I'm pretty good. I never killed nobody, and I, you know, right? Ever hear that? I'm not so bad. I'm pretty good. And you point them to what God says. Ask them, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? Have you ever taken something that wasn't yours? Most people will at least admit to those three, right? And if they admit to any of them, you can say, well, now just as we were talking, right, you admitted to being a liar and a thief and a blasphemer. Does that sound like a good person? Does not sound like a good person. Because God's standard is not our standard. The people that compare themselves by themselves and say, oh, I'm better than the neighbors. Well, God's standard is not your neighbors. God's standard is perfection, the one who never sinned. It says we've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of God's standard by so far. And if they can understand that, of course, because you have to be a sinner to get saved. When Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees, right, and even like the Apostle Paul before he got saved, he thought he was really good. He thought he was good, like real good. When Jesus actually was talking to some of them that were being critical of him, he said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, I came to call sinners to be forgiven. And so Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Ask somebody that. Ask them, or not that, ask them why he came into the world. Why did he come? Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I would just bow for prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you just help us to be faithful in sharing it with others. Thank you that you came to save us, guilty people who need forgiveness. Thank you for all you are willing to do for us and paying the price and dying for our sins and rising again and offering us the free gift. We thank you so much for that. Help us to be grateful for it and to share it with others that they too might know the real meaning of Christmas and why we have it. I ask these things in your name. Amen.